We had a band director who was just a phenomenally good saxophone player, like Greg, and my son-in-law is a great saxophone player, and so I appreciate seeing those instruments used in a way that clearly honors the Lord. So appreciate Greg playing that for us this evening. Before we gather around the table for communion tonight, I want to, as we often do, turn our thinking to the cross. And since we have a business meeting later, I'm not planning to preach a message per se, but I do want to take some time, as we often do, to read one of the gospel accounts of the crucifixion. And so let me have you turn to John 18, if you would, please. John chapter 18, and if you need a Bible, there should be a black hardcover Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And you can find John 18 on page 1519. And I'll make a few comments along the way, but for the most part, I'm just going to read the better part here of two chapters, extended account, and we just want to kind of let these things settle upon our souls. So John chapter 18, John says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden under the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted there with his disciples. Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You know, and this was apparently an essentially involuntary response upon hearing the voice of deity. And I'm not sure those men even realized what was happening. Verse 7 says, then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, and of course John there is referring to himself. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and he went in with Jesus into the place of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou not also one of this man's disciples? Peter saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when I had thus spoken, One of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Now all this had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto Peter, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, so one of Malchus's relatives, saith, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crowed. Verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Greek word there is praetorion. And it was early, it was around sunrise. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto you." You know, an interesting way to answer Pilate's question. They say, if he weren't guilty, we wouldn't be bringing him to you. Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die." Verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" In other words, how would I know? I'm not a Jew. "Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." And this is the first time, if you read through all the gospel accounts, there are at least seven different times where Pilate proclaims Jesus' innocence. This is the first of them. "But you have a custom that I shall release unto you right at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" The alternate was Barabbas, an insurrectionist, a murderer. And Pilate knew that the Jewish leaders had delivered Jesus out of envy, so he thought the multitudes would certainly choose to have Jesus released rather than Barabbas. But, of course, that's not what happened. Both Matthew and Mark tell us that the chief priests stirred up the people to call for the release of Barabbas rather than Jesus. Verse 40 says, "Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." This is the second time we see this in John's Gospel. It's actually number 5 of the 7. Verse 5, "Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law you ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover at about the sixth hour, so it was around noon now. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Verse 17 says, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the middle." And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then led many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Verse 23, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved," and of course that's John again, the youngest of the disciples, and the writer of this gospel. "And Jesus said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said," and Luke tells us that he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that particular Sabbath was an high day, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Verse 32, "Then came the soldiers, and they broke the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers, with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it, so this is John speaking here of himself, he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith is true, that ye might believe. So we'll just end our reading there with John's words, that ye might believe. And folks, I trust you believe all of those things exactly as they're written. That Jesus' trial was unjust, that his treatment was horrific, that he was betrayed, that he was denied, that his own people turned against him, the people that he came to save. And yet out of love for them, he went to the cross and suffered those things at the hands of sinful men so that we might be forgiven, so that we might receive eternal life born out of his love for us. That's what we're here to remember tonight. That's the purpose for our observance of the Lord's Supper. We want to never lose sight of the salvation provided for us through the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. And you know, all those indignities notwithstanding, the worst of what Jesus endured for us was the outpouring of the wrath of God upon sin as Jesus became sin for us and took the penalty that we deserve. And that ought to sober us. Ought to be something that we think about, the precious blood of Jesus, the tremendous price for our salvation. Of course, we also remember his victory over death and the grave when he rose again the third day. As we do month by month, let me remind us of what the essence of communion is about. This isn't a sacrament. It's a memorial. It's a time when we remember. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So we remember, we reflect on his body broken for us. We remember his blood shed for us. And as we partake of the bread and the cup, it's not that we receive some mystical appearance of Jesus' literal body and blood, but these are symbols that remind us that Jesus indeed allowed his body to be broken for us. He shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. It's not something that contributes to our salvation, that makes us saved, that keeps us saved, but rather it's something that we who are saved do as God instructs us in remembrance of our salvation. So this is a time when we think about our Savior and reflect with thanksgiving on who he is, the sinless Son of God, and what he has done for us when he bore our sins in his body on the cross. This table is open to believers, any who have been truly born again by grace through faith. That means it's not about what we do. It's not that this ritual or any other ritual somehow or other is what makes us saved. We're saved simply by trusting in Jesus for what he has done for us. And if you have trusted Jesus for your salvation, then this table is open to you. The Lord calls us to be careful, though, because it is a sober thing. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, Paul says, let a person examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, that means kind of dismissively, thoughtlessly, just kind of not taking it seriously. He eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Children who have trusted Jesus as their Savior are welcome to participate. We leave that at the discretion of parents if they understand sufficiently to be able to participate in a serious way. One last thought, as I always say, the point of Paul's caution here isn't to exclude. It isn't to make you think, well, I'm not worthy. We're not worthy. But the point is we reflect on how Jesus looked down upon unworthy people like us and saved us. And so we do want to take a few minutes here to examine our hearts and to just bow our heads before the Lord. And, you know, if the Lord brings something in mind, you talk to him about it. John tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and they're going to play an appropriate invitation song. And as they do, let's ask God to just prepare our hearts and bring to mind anything that we need to talk with him about so that we can come to the table with a clear heart and with a focus truly on Jesus. Father, we are just so grateful for the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. And I pray, Father, as we gather at the table, as it were tonight, that as a church family, our hearts would be united together in our gratitude, in our desire to see your kingdom advanced, in our desire to live in a manner that is appropriate for someone who has been saved at such great cost. And so we pray that this would be a time that's pleasing to you, a time when we are encouraged, when we think about your great love for us. Bless in these quiet moments now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.